Read some verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 here this morning and some other verses as well, but I want to talk about his soon coming. His soon coming. This is a topic that is on the minds of a lot of people right now, even people outside of the church. People in the church are thinking, are these the last days that I've always heard about? People outside of the church even are saying things like, well, this must be the end of the world. Everything is looking so different and so difficult. I've heard people use the word apocalypse, which is a word really that just describes last day events all being revealed, all being opened up, uncovered. And so for New Testament Christians, like most of us here in this sanctuary here this morning, this is not something new to us because we're very familiar with this very important cardinal doctrine of the church. As a matter of fact, some of you may remember Sister Sandra Sherwood in Kids Crusades would go through the four cardinal doctrines. And we have, of course, many doctrines that we believe from God's word, but she would talk about the four cardinal doctrines. Salvation is number one. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is number two. Divine healing is number three. And the coming of the Lord is number four. So it ranks very high in what we believe as far as our doctrinal position is concerned as to what the word of the Lord says to us about the end times and all the things that are going to happen. We're going to look at this from 1 Thessalonians. If you remember last week, we read in 2 Thessalonians, which is a little bit shorter letter. If you remember that the Apostle Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, they had made certain directions to go to Asia. The Holy Ghost said no. They made a decision to go to a place called Bithynia, and the Holy Ghost said no, you can't go there. And then they have this. The Apostle Paul has this nighttime vision of a man in Macedonia, and so this man says, "Come and help us." And so that's the direction of the Spirit. So Paul then goes into Philippi, and he travels to Philippi, plants a church. He travels to Thessalonica, plants a church. He travels to Berea, plants a church there, to Athens. There are even those there in that city so filled with idolatry, even groups of people that clave to him even in Athens. And then he goes to Corinth. He spends a year and a half or so, approximately a year and a half in Corinth. And it's there that he writes this letter, 1 Thessalonians, and the second letter, 2 Thessalonians, back to the church at Thessalonica. The second letter was really just a letter to comfort them, encourage them in what they believed. The first letter was a letter that was a little more pointed in a couple of areas. The first chapter, he's just encouraging them and commending them. In the second chapter, he's reminding them of how he was when he was there ministering to them. He said, I was like a nursing mother. I was gentle and caring about you. That's the way that I dealt with you. I ministered to you night and day. I poured my soul out before you. He was reminding them of the kind of ministry that he had among them. And then in chapter 4, he talks to them in the first part of the chapter, and very specifically about how to live a holy life and the call that they all had to live a separated and a holy life. And then when you get down to verse 13, that's where we're going to read here this morning, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. He says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see, the common belief among the secular heathen of that day was that when you died, you were dead. And that's all. There was no resurrection. There was nothing beyond. As a matter of fact, that's pretty much the secular view of our world today. That's pretty much what how people are living today in our world. It's you live, and then you die, and when you're gone, you're gone. So live it up while you're here, because there's nothing beyond death. That's the main system of belief in our world today. But he writes to them to let them know, wait a minute, no, that's not true. Don't be discouraged by that false teaching. Don't be ignorant concerning those that die and are buried. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he reaffirmed the importance of the resurrection of Jesus, and that he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And so everyone who is in the grave is going to come out of the grave. It's not the end when they die. Praise God. It's really only the beginning, because Jesus rose from the dead. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. When he says by the word of the Lord, he's talking about the fact that he is receiving revelation from God. God is speaking to him, and this letter is an inspired letter. It's inspired of the Holy Ghost. And so when he says, I'm receiving this word, is a revelation from God to you, so that you'll understand that no matter what, you can't stop what's going to happen. And that is that everyone that's in the grave is going to come out of the grave. You can't stop that. You can't prevent it. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's an important verse. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. It's the Lord who is going to initiate this soon coming. He is going to descend from heaven with a shout. The word shout there is the Greek word. It comes from a military term. It's a military command, actually, to call everyone to battle. It's a call to battle. It's a call to arms. And so when he steps out and descends from heaven, then he's going to descend with a shout. It's going to be a shout that's going to be so loud that every one of our loved ones who died in the Lord that are laying in the graves now, their bodies are in the graves, it's going to wake them all up. It's going to be a shout so loud that even the dead are going to raise from the dead. Praise God. Glory to God. What a wonderful hope that is. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a command, and with the voice of the archangel. The archangels are the highest ranked of the angels. And so there's going to be the command of the Lord himself, his voice, and then the voice of the archangel that is going to follow that. Basically, the first in rank of the angels, the archangel, the voice of the archangel is going to second the call. Jesus himself is going to command the call. The archangels are going to second the call and declare the call from the grave. And then the trump of God is going to sound. So there's going to be three signals. The Lord and the angel and the trump of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We have a wonderful, wonderful hope, folks. Because we've all gone through the heartache of losing people that we love. that died in the Lord. But that is not the end. The soon coming of Jesus is the very next thing on the calendar. And some that maybe you've lost in recent months or years that have passed away in the Lord, they will come out of that grave, and that's going to happen very soon, according to God's word. Hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Those that are living at that moment are going to be caught up to meet them. That's where we get our word rapture, from that Greek word for caught up, because it just means to snatch or to seize. That's what's going to happen. The Lord is going to descend from heaven. The archangel is going to second the call. The trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise and the same. And then just following those that are rising from the grave will be the saints of God like you and me. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Thank you, Christy, for the slide that says soon coming in the clouds. Amen. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the last part of chapter 4. Then the Apostle Paul goes right on, and we have the chapter divisions, but he goes right on with the message in chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Thieves do their dirty work at night under the cover of darkness, and they come quickly. Say, when Jesus comes, he's going to come quick. It's going to be so quick, and like a thief does their dirty work. The other night, Friday night, I guess it was, we had the truck from the station, Brother Huff's truck, parked here, using it for some things here at the church and the school. Had it parked up here. My wife got up about midnight to go and get some water, get a drink of water, and she just happened to glance out the window, and some guy at that very moment whips his car around right and pulls right up to the front of the truck and gets out, taking a good look at the truck, getting ready to do some dirty work. And my wife, all I hear is she opens the door and says, "What are you doing?" The guy gets back in his car and takes off. My wife can be scary. She can be scary. She scared the thieves off in the middle of the night, late at night. Praise God. The Lord is going to come, and it's going to be quick. Thieves do their dirty work quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall escape. That just simply means that everybody in our world is going to misread what's happening around them. They're not going to see it. They're going to think, oh, it's peace and safety, and all of a sudden, then calamity is going to come. What kind of calamity? All the things that you're seeing in some of these major cities around our country right now, that kind of calamity is going to be worldwide. And when the church is removed and the restraining force is removed, then the demonic, devilish forces can come to the surface and do bring the terrible havoc that they're going to bring. The world's not going to expect it, but it's coming. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of the light, the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, but they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and an helmet, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath. That's one of many verses that reminds us that we are not going to be going into this time of tribulation and wrath and all that I just described that's going to come upon the earth. God didn't appoint us to that. We're going to escape all of that in the rapture of the church. Praise God. God has not appointed us into wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. Let me give you another verse of scripture. I know I'm reading a lot of verses here. Let me give you a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is what we are expecting, and we believe is the next event. It's the next event, and we should be preparing ourselves, getting ready for that day when the church is going to be snatched out of this place. Glory to God. Amen. Let me mention just a few other signs that we are right now in this, in the last days, and that the Lord is coming really, really soon. Number one is Israel. Keep your eye on what's happening in Israel. Israel has always been called God's time clock. You can watch what's happening in Israel, and you can determine where you are as far as God's time. Now, as I was going through looking up all these various verses, there are more verses than I could go through today. Matter of fact, I am working them in the sound booth to death today with so many verses of Scripture. And I omitted many, many verses of Scripture that relate to Israel. And number one, Israel's formation and restoration as a nation. You know that Israel became a sovereign state on May the 14th, 1948. Israel had not existed as a sovereign state for over 2,000 years. They had been dispersed and completely scattered all throughout the earth, Jews scattered throughout the earth. But then, for the last 100 or so years, there has been this gradual trickle back to Israel, and then in 1948, which was actually 72 years ago, Israel was declared by the United Nations to be a sovereign state. Did we pay attention to that? We better pay attention to that, because number one, that was a miracle for people scattered throughout the earth to start coming back to their homeland of Israel. That is significant. And it's miraculous that it happened. And so they were declared to be a nation and a sovereign state on May the 14th, 1948, 72 years ago. Matthew 24 and 34 says, "Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." What was he talking about there in Matthew 24? He had just talked about the parable of the fig tree. That fig tree was Israel. It is a picture of Israel. And he said, this generation is not going to pass away. That means that there are going to be people living, this is what I believe, people living who saw 1948 take place. They saw Israel formed as a sovereign state. So that means that there's people that are 72 years old don't expect to live a whole lot longer. Some of you do. Some of us do. I asked the Lord to let me to live till I can see my grandchildren grow up. But that's all in His hands. That's all in His hands. We don't know. We just know that there will be people alive when Jesus comes who saw 1948 take place. That's how close we are. That's how close that we are to the coming of the Lord. Let me read you some verses. Hosea 3, verses 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and the goodness in the latter days. That is Hosea's prophecy concerning the return of Israel, of the Jews back to Israel. Then Isaiah also, there are many others. Jeremiah prophesies it. Daniel prophesied it. There are several other of the Old Testament prophets that prophesied it concerning the Jews returning to Israel. Here's Isaiah 43 and 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Glory to God. And we have witnessed that happening. That has happened. And watching Israel and the fulfillment of Israel is definitely a sign of the very close, soon coming of our Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So keep your eye on Israel and what's happening. We know what happened was it 2 years ago when the embassy was moved back to Jerusalem? Let me tell you, some significant things are happening in Israel. Keep your eye on what is happening in Israel related to the end time and the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. We ought to be excited and thankful as Christians that we're living in such a wonderful day, such a wonderful hour. I know there's a lot of dark and difficult times, but if your eyes are upon the Lord and you have this blessed hope in your heart, then you're going to be encouraged and excited that we may escape all of this really, really soon. Praise God. Another sign. I know I'm going to run out of time. Oh, I still got some good time. Number two, evidence of the coming of the Lord. Morality, declining morality in our world. We've all witnessed this. If you're, some of you that are younger may not be able to identify with it, but those of you that are my age or older, you can definitely identify with the fact that morality has taken a nosedive in our lifetime. Things have changed. You say, well, does that mean all these wicked, evil, perverted sins that are out in the open right now were not happening back then? Many of them might have been happening, but they were all shamed. They were all hidden. They were never promoted. But now they are promoted. They're promoted. They're actually legal, such as, you know, gay marriage. Legal, the Supreme Court said, legal in the United States of America. The very things that should make us be blush and be ashamed are now publicly promoted in our nation right now. We've witnessed this dramatic shift in morals. Many of the things which never would have even been talked about or discussed is now broadcast, you know, shamelessly on TV programs, movies, and even in music, and definitely now on the internet, another opportunity for these things to be promoted. Let me read you some verses from 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I could go through each one of those and expand on each of those areas. I don't want to take the time to do that, but I think it goes without saying that in all of these last 50, 60 years, there has been a nosedive of morality in our world and in our nation, And that is a sign of where we are as far as God's calendar is concerned. Another thing, number three, violence and wars. Wars and violence are really like birth pangs. All these things that are happening in our world today are like birth pangs of unrest that's in our world. The violence is just a sign, just showing the intensity of these last days getting us ready for the coming of the Lord. Matthew 24, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. When I read up on, I was reading about different wars that are taking place. Much of the fighting, many of the wars are wars within nations, civil unrest, which is really what we're faced with now in our nation, a divided nation and civil unrest in our country. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, which actually the word literally means diseases, sicknesses, such as we're facing in this pandemic right now, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, all these things. Now let's talk a little bit about earthquakes also. As a sign, according to Matthew 24, the increase of earthquakes in our world. From 1920 to 1970, there were 10 major earthquakes in our world. In the last 15 years, there have been 13 major, I'm talking about catastrophic earthquakes. In the year 2000, there were over 22,000 recorded earthquakes, and they are increasing at more than 2,000 per year. 22,000 and then 2,000 more and 2,000 more, increasing at about 2,000 per year since the year 2000. Incredible changes that are happening in our world today. So famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. And then also from Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, talking about travel and even learning and education in our world today. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we know that that has happened in the last few decades, that travel is increased. To talk to somebody that had been to another country 30 or 40 years ago, there weren't that many people. But now, almost everyone that you meet has been somewhere in the world. They've traveled to foreign nations because it's a commonplace thing to travel everywhere around the world, freely traveling. Not so much right now under this pandemic, but people have traveled everywhere. And knowledge increased. The elevation of the importance of education, sad to say, much of the education is secular and isn't valuable at all to people who believe the Bible. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Earthquakes, travel, education. Another sign, the occult. And the occult is just a distorted teaching. It's distorting the truths of God's word concerning the Bible, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in an age. In the end of the age, you can expect more and more demonic activity, satanic activity. And that's what we're also experiencing in our country right now. There's a lot of demonology that's going on, a lot of darkness that is happening in our world today. Matthew 24 and 4, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's the demon spirits of these last days, convincing men of things that are not true. And that leads us to the spirit of Antichrist, which we've talked a little bit about here in recent services. It seems to be so prevalent today that people are boldly speaking against God and removing God and speaking against the things of God's word. It is a spirit of the last days when people rise up and oppose the message of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Matthew 24 spoke concerning the Antichrist spirit. And we know that the Antichrist steps on the scene, and that man of sin steps on the scene right at the time that the church is being caught out of this place. But that spirit, that mystery of iniquity, is already working in our world right now. Another thing is apostasy. Apostasy is a form of godliness, a form of religion, but no power, no reality. If there's ever been an important time for the church to just stay true to basic doctrines, to stay true to the things that we know to be revealed in God's word, because there is a veering away from the word of the Lord. People are wanting to live their life according to their fleshly desires, but yet still make their claims to walk with God and know God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's the generation that we're living in right now. Now that's just some of, there's many, many other signs of the soon coming of the Lord. But I want to take just these last few minutes to talk about another sign of the soon coming of the Lord. And that is a last day revival. A last day spiritual awakening that he's promised in the last days. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's what we're holding to. That's what we're believing God for. That in the face of all this wickedness and darkness and all the trouble and the uncertainty of these days, we are praying. We are asking the Lord, Lord, give us another opportunity to see a great host of people come into the coming of the Lord before you come. Right before you come, Lord, send this last day revival. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise God. So there's going to be, in this last day revival, every generation affected. Men and women are affected. Different classes of life are affected. Everyone, without exception, everyone can be swept in to the kingdom of God during a last day outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. I mentioned this on the radio this morning. There's a couple of pastors that I listen to from out in the state of California. Believe it or not, there's some good preachers out there. And I listen to a couple of them. They have prayer efforts going on, prayer and fasting efforts going on in their churches out there on the West Coast. It's happening in Alabama. It's happening in Florida. It's happening in Georgia. It's happening in New York. States around this nation that are calling people to prayer and fasting. What we are doing is we're just aligning ourselves with many hundreds and thousands of other believers that are fasting and praying right now for this last day revival. Let's hold on to the promise of God that yes, these are dark, troubling times that we're in right now, but it's also a time that can be met with
a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit of God that can sweep across this nation, and many hundreds and thousands of people can be born again and brought into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's believe the Lord for that. Let's believe God for that as a last day confirmation just before the soon coming of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for a reminder from your word that you are coming soon. We see, Lord, all these different evidences of these times that are being fulfilled. But we ask, Lord, above all, Lord, we ask that there would be, Lord, hearts of believers right here at this location, that their faith would rise up, they would believe, God, that what you have promised, you're going to fulfill it. And you are going to send a wonderful last day revival. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for the wonderful promise of your word. And we hold on to that. Lord, that before you come, that we would be, Lord, witnessing many people coming into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.